Okay, we continue the Rambam. We're in Hilchos Nachlas, Perek Beis, Halacha Yudalet, Chapter 2, Law 14. The next few halachas are discussing who is believed to say that a firstborn is a bechor. You know, and you think it's so simple. But we have to, how do you know this adult 25-year-old or 40-year-old male is the firstborn of the father who has died? How do you know that for a fact? So that's what who's believed to testify for this. That's the next number of halachas. Yudal, shloisha ne'monim ala b'chor. Three people are believed to tell us if this child, or this adult now, whatever, is a b'chor. First one is Chaya, is the midwife, and one who helped deliver the baby, or for that matter, the doctor who delivered the baby. It's number one. The Imol and his mother, Aviv and his father.
You only need one of those.
We will see. And when is it that they are believed? Chaya, the midwife, Miyad. She is believed right away, as soon as the kid's born, puts the tag on him, and she can tell us this is the guy's firstborn. And, as long, you know, she may not know what he looks like 40 years from now, but at that point, she's believed to say this is the first, let's say they were twins. So she's believed to say which one came first, et cetera, et cetera. The mother may not.
How does she know that another baby wasn't born to that dad previously?
She knows if the mother says this is my first delivery, right? And a midwife would know if it's a first delivery too.
The man. This would be the man's firstborn.
How do we know he didn't have a previous marriage?
Okay, so that you'd have to figure out other things. We're trying to know this person. Forget about all those other things. Those other things you'd have to know already. You have to ask. But the question is, how do we know this child is exactly who he says he is? Forget about that he's the firstborn. How do we know he's at least the child of this man? That's the question. So there's other issues. So certainly in any issue, you'd have to know other things as well.
He just knows...
So, and that's good enough if that's what the information we need. In other words, the man has no other kids. Well, how do we know that this is the kid? How do we know this is the firstborn? He's not. There's twins. There's triplets. I don't know which one. You're right. There's other facts we need to know, but she is believed for this most essential fact. Of all the facts you need to know, is that this boy was born from this woman who's married to this man, and if we can corroborate other facts that say this man has no other kids, then we believe her that this is the Bahor.
But she can't help to even know that was the dad of this baby.
No, yes we do. Because when a woman is married to a man, the Gemara says, Rov Be'ilos Acharabal. How do we ever do anything? If a son hits his father, why do we kill him? How do we know it's his father? Right? The answer is Rov Be'ilos Achar Abal. The majority of intimacies that a woman has is with her husband. So if we know that this man is her wife, then we have a chazaka. We don't need anything more. We don't even need any testimony. We have a chazaka that this baby is this man's son. Now all we need to know is, does he have any other sons? So when they come into the hospital, you know, and we ask the father, you have any other children before? No. And in most hospitals, that's the kind of questions they ask you. Is this the mother's first child, the father's first child? And the father says, no, that's my first kid. Okay, that's all we need to know. And now what we believe the midwife, that her testimony that this is the baby in the nursery is this guy's kid. She has a testimony belief right away. She says ze yotza rishon, this one came out first. Let's say when there's twins. Now who else is going to be able to tell us this? Nemenah, she is believed, and that is the critical fact that we need to know per se. There's other facts, but if she can provide this critical fact, that will make the difference. What about the mother? Imo kol shiva shimei aleda nemanas lomar zabachor. All 7 days after childbirth, she's believed to say zabachor. This is the bachor, as opposed to the father, who we'll see in a minute. because she's with the child. Now, it doesn't mean after the 7 days she's not believed. She's believed any time during the 7 days. I would imagine the midwife, you see, has priority knowledge than even the woman herself. In other words, the midwife knows immediately, even before the mother knows, because the mother is in too much trauma to really know what's going on right away, usually. Remember, there was no medications and all this. The woman's just screaming her head off, okay? So she's not in a position to really be very accurate in knowing. Once the midwife says, this is your firstborn, this is this, okay, now she knows that that's her kid. So she's believed. I know you're going to say, well, maybe the midwife was an unscrupulous woman and she lied to her and this and that. So, you know, we assume that the mother knows who the Bechor is within the first 7 days. But the father, we don't assume, knows for the first 7 days, because in a good, proper homes, the father has nothing to do with the kid till it's the bris. He has to come to the bris, and now the father sees the kid. Father stayed away from the kids. They didn't go to the delivery rooms. It's all a modern mishigas. But the father only needs to know who his son is on the day of the bris. So therefore, the father would not know until the 8th day, as it were. Now, generally speaking, but here's the point. But aviv li'olam, but the father forever will be believed, and I don't believe it's to the exclusion of the mother or anyone else. Filu amar ha'av, even the father says, al mishlo huchsuk b'no klal. Let's say for years and years and years, nobody knew that this boy was this man's son. And all of a sudden, he comes along 25 years later, and he says, hu b'ni u'b'chori hu. He is my son and he is my firstborn. Ne'emon, he is believed. A father knows who his kid is. Okay, that's straight off. Or the reverse. If everybody assumed this boy was his firstborn, and now the father turns around and says, Ain a Bechor, he's not my Bechor. Ne'emon, he's also believed. Okay, so that's clear that that's the believabilities of these three people. Now, of course, there could theoretically be other people, but this is the clearest. This one doesn't need any witnesses or anything. If a person says, this is my kid, we believe him that he is his kid. You're going to say, how do you know he's making tricks and that? The assumption is, just like, how do you ever trust two witnesses? We have to do it. So we assume that a father knows who his kid is. And if he says, this is his kid, it's his kid. If he says, not his kid, it's not his kid. And that's it. And don't ask me questions about DNA and this and that. I don't want to go there right now.
Can I ask a question I want to ask?
You could ask what you want. I don't know if I can answer.
What does the first 7 days mean? I don't understand what that phrase means.
Before the birth.
Before the father.
But
the first 7 days, he doesn't know.
Only the mother, to the exclusion of the father.
Okay,
you want to tie in nowadays with the father sitting and nursing the kid from day one and changing the diapers. Okay, then the father will know who his kid is even earlier. I'm just saying the general rule of thumb is, well, the father has any business with the kid till the bris. Right? Father has a chiyuv to give the kid a bris. So on day 8, the father's got to know what's going on, right? But the point being, and now forever, he could say who his kid is. I would imagine, I don't know, I imagine the mother would too. I don't know about the midwife, because the midwife doesn't know when the kid grows up what he looks like. You'd imagine that the father and the mother know who their kids are.
At least the kid had a birthmark or something like that, and she was able to see it.
I don't know.
Well, what if there was a conflict between what the midwife said, or the mother and the father?
I don't know.
Where would they go? The father is always believed.
Well, let's put it, the boy's 40 years old, and the father says he's my son, and the midwife says not, or reverse, we believe the father. The midwife's believability is of a limited time, because boys grow up, and midwife doesn't see the kid growing up.
Okay, but say a good job then, it's 30 days, and there was twins, and which one's, right? It could be the father.
I don't know.
I like this one better.
No, it's not. He's not going to lie. Usually what happens is the midwife will say, this is the Bechor. We got to start somewhere, right? She's going to tell the mother. Mother's going to believe the midwife. So certain things, it's going to be hard for the father to argue with the midwife.
Yeah, he hasn't been there for
the midwife time. Says, this is the firstborn, and I've told you this is the firstborn. Father says, no, it's not. So they say, how do you know? Well, I say so.
It really comes back to the midwife.
Won't believe it. But the point
starts the chain.
Especially if it's twin.
Right. So you wouldn't know the difference. Who would know except for the midwife? Now, the midwife then tells the mother. Okay, now the mother, we assume, there's certain assumptions. A midwife would not lie. Right? Tells the mother. So now the mother now will recognize, this is the one she told me, and this is the firstborn. And then the father's told by the bris. So then he's will recognize from that point on. Okay, now, getting into more details of testimony of a father at a later state. Let's say the father later on in life became mute. He could not speak and he could not testify. So, and we want to know who the firstborn is. So both, you know, so we can check him out, the father, if he is intellectually smart enough. Like we check for divorce. It's the similar halacha. If a man would want to divorce his wife, we have to know, is he mentally competent? Now, the fact that guy's mute doesn't mean he's not mentally competent, but he can't open his mouth and it doesn't leave us a lot to go with. So we have to know that. And the way the standardized test of mute competency is we ask him three questions. Three questions. Two that require for him to answer no, and one of them to say yes, or vice versa. In other words, we ask him a question, whatever, you know, I understand that this is your firstborn son, and we're looking for a yes. So he says yes. I understand he was born in Chicago. So the father cannot. He says, yes, yes. Now we're going to do a no question, you see. I understand that Rabbi so-and-so was the moil. No. So you're looking that the three answers are not the same yeses or noes. So that way we'll know if he knows what he's talking about. Same thing with a get when we do the same thing. So we're just trying. So therefore, im ramas, if he can hint to us, o kasav, and or he can write. So first of all, it's botkim. So first one is botkim. We just check if he can say yes or noes, and he would just nod to us and say, this is the first one. But im ramas, what if he hints, o kasav shezeh b'no b'choro, or he writes, this is b'chor, harez enot b'shtayim, this guy gets the double portion. Okay. Now, let's do second-hand information now. Tezayin. What if the father is not alive anymore? And we're still not sure which one of these twins, let's say, is the firstborn or whatever. So what if Heidum Eidim Shem Shomu Aviv Alzeh Oimer Dvarim Kach V'Kach Sharei Osama Dvarim Yivadam Echlom Shezeh Benor B'chor. Let's say witnesses tell and say, you know, 2 years ago, we heard the father say the following about this boy. And from what he said, it's very clear. He said, oh, I'm so proud. This is my firstborn son. There were twins, and the midwife told me this and this. And they testified to this entire testimony. Then even though the father has not told us this, but there's witnesses who are telling us what the father said, he will get a double portion. Even though the father did not explicitly say, he didn't say to them, this is my firstborn, but from the words that he says, it becomes clear that he meant that this is a firstborn son. Okay? So that's clear. However, it could be if they testify with a not clear expression, then it won't work, which is Yitzayim. Shoma mina'av. Shoma, you heard the fire say, Zeb bini b'chor. This is my son, a b'chor. Didn't say my b'chor. Ain't notably shnaim, he don't get double with that testimony. Shem b'chor li'imo. He could be a b'chor to the mother, but not a b'chor to the father. V'hu v'lozen, he's going, maybe that's what the father meant. Achomer bini b'chori. He's my firstborn. Because we have to really imply that the father meant to say, this is my firstborn. If it's too general and say, he's a firstborn. Well, what do you mean he's a firstborn? Oh, he's my wife's firstborn. Could be my firstborn. That's not good enough for us to prove that it is his firstborn. Okay. We've dealt with that. We now start the third chapter. Okay, now the question is, what portion of the father's inheritance does the Bechor get? So let's see some. So basically, let me give you the general rule, and then the Rambam goes through details. The firstborn gets the two portions of what assets the father has, we'll say right now, either readily here right now, or obviously it's coming without any doubt. Without any doubts whatsoever. It may not be here right now, but you know for sure it's imminent, and it's not even a shaila in that. So even though we don't have it now, but it's for sure coming, so he'll get a double portion of that. Things that we're expecting, but it's not a sure thing, then that's not to be double portioned, but rather as it comes, it becomes equal portioned. In other words, what's here right now, right in front of us, for sure he gets double portion. What if something comes a week later? Well, what was it? If it's something that when the father died, we're 100% sure, without a doubt, in our mind it's coming, then it's as good as here. So when it comes later, that firstborn will get the double portion. If it's something we're expecting, but it's not a for sure thing, then he does not get the portion. And the details is what the Rambam is going to thrash through with us. But that's the general notion. And we'll see the examples. We'll clarify it as we go ahead. A bechor does not get the double portion for assets that come after the death of the father. The father died and more money came to the father. That does not get the double portion on that. Ella, except what? Benachasim amuchsachim la'aviv, things that the father was holding onto, shabal shusa, that came into his domain. That's the simple rule. Shinemer, the pasuk says, bechol asher yimatzalo, from all that was found by the father. So that's what he has. So that's what he's got, and that's what we divide. That's the simple rule. Kate said, let's have an example. Echad mi morishe aviv shemes la'achar misas. Let's say somebody who could bequeath to the deceased father died after the father died. The father died, whatever assets he had, the Bechor got his double portion. And a month later, the father's father dies. Mm. So now what's that? And so that just goes straight through the father, now goes to the boys. But that was not the father's at that time, and the grandson is not a Bechor to the grandfather, let's say. So when that happens afterwards, habachor vahapashut yoshim kechad, the bechor and the regular ones, they are the same. Even though we know for a fact that one day the grandfather is going to die, it's going to happen. I mean, sooner or later he's going to die, and sooner or later it's coming through to them directly through the father who has passed away. So we think maybe the bechor, we know right now the bechor is going to get the double portion. The answer is no. Only what the father had when he was alive goes him. Even things we would expect, but it's certainly not happening till the grandfather dies. So it's not so quick to happen. Could be the boys will die before the grandfather dies. So that he doesn't get. Similarly, and this is interesting, and the Rambam will elaborate on this much more in Halacha Hey. He says, "V'chenim hois lovi milva." Let's say the father loans someone some money, and the guy has to pay him back. It's clearly the father's money. Clearly there's a chiyuv to pay it back. And let's say a few days after the father dies, the guy pays back the loan. Now, this was the father's money. But again, it's not a sure thing that you're going to get it back. Since what if the milva just says, I ain't paying back. You know, I don't got the money or whatever. So since it's not a sure thing, he doesn't get it. Or, oshahayislo sfina bayam. Let's say there was a cargo ship that was delivered. The father ordered the cargo, and he paid for it, and it's somewhere in the Atlantic. And a few weeks after the father dies, it comes in now. Still, Yorshin Kechot, they divide up the same, because again, especially in those, it was not a sure thing. Thing can get lost at sea. It's not a guaranteed thing at all, even though the father owns it, but it's not something that's at hand that the father can really say it's his. You know, we're talking about, you know, insurance and all these issues, so you could start clearing Shilas. You know, what if that insurance, or even the insurance, is something that comes afterwards? So therefore, it would probably be that, you know, you just, when it finally comes in, you have to divide it up equally. Okay, now other examples, though, where here's where it's not by the father now, but you know it's coming back, and here's a situation more where you do divide that the Bechor gets the double portion. Let's say the father left an animal that was presently rented out or for a certain amount of money per day, or mechukeres, or a certain percentage per day, right, which is different than a loan. Remember, a loan, milva lahotza nitnu. When a man gives another man $100, he doesn't expect to get those same $100 back. So it's just an IOU that's there. And therefore, the IOU, so it means really the payment of the IOU is brand new money, so to speak. It's an account receivable, you want to say. But if I have a guy watching my cow, this is the cow. The cow is my father's. It never wasn't my father's. And therefore, that already, he can divide that up as a bechor, getting a double portion, because the cow is the father's. It really belongs to the father. This fellow is only just a shomer for that. So that already is a different case. Oh, shohesara ba'afor. Let's say the father's animals are grazing in grazing lands. That's specifically for grazing. It's not on the father's property. Well, that too is going to, when it finally is brought back to the father's property, he's going to get a double portion. Or let's say even further, viyolda. Let's say the animals gave birth to other animals after the father died. Still, habachor noitol ba. The bechor gets his portion. Ubivloda, in the animal that got fatter. Uvivloda, and the child, pishnayim, double. Because that's something that is intrinsically coming out of the animal. It's not something brand new, as we'll see in Halacha Dalet, but we inherited the cow. Good. So the cow is whatever it is with this cow. The baby isn't coming for 3 months later, but it is part and parcel of the cow. It's just a cow that grows. It's not something that's coming external from the cow, that's coming internal from the cow, and that's why the bechor gets double. Okay, Gimel. Here's an intriguing case. We know there's a concept that when you shecht an animal, when we had a Beis HaMikdash and Kohanim, every animal you shechted, not even to the Beis HaMikdash, you had to give every Kohen three gifts from the animal. You would give him the zroa, the forearm, the lechayayim, the cheek, and the cave of the maw, part of this intestine. Every animal that was shechted, stamazoi, in your backyard, those are three gifts that went to the kohen. Now, you can give it to anybody you like. But a lot of times it happens that there is the kohen that the family always uses. And we call that word makire aviv. Those that the father recognized as the kohen always gets what he gets. So it's like clockwork. For the last 20 years, whenever we shechted a cow, my father called Mr. Cohn, and Mr. Cohn came by, and he took up the things. And it got to a point where Mr. Cohn knew, let's say every Friday, Friday morning, the Shechet, Mr. Cohn always just walks by Friday morning to pick up his stuff. It was known, and he's supposed to get it, and there was never, maybe this week, this coin. This is the coin they use, the family coin. Okay? So what happens? So let's say that the animal that belongs to the father got shechted in the morning, and the father died right after the shechita. Now, let's reverse that. I'm sorry, let's do that again. A man shechted an animal, and now the kohen, who normally would come and pick it up after the animal was shechted, the kohen dies. Now, the kids of the kohanim, do they inherit this animal, and also the pieces of the animal? And can the bechor say, I want the double? Because this was a guaranteed thing that was happening. Now, this can only happen after the animal is shechted. Before the animal is shechted, there's no obligation at all to give it to the kohen at all. But let's say the animal was shechted, and this was an animal that every week the father kohen would take it up. Now the father kohen dies. Now the bechor says, I want double portion of the maw and the cheeks and etc. So that's the case. Gimel. Shachar echad mimakire aviv. So now, a person shechted, a person who the father, the Kohen, recognized him, he always would give him, he shechted it, and then the father died. Behema. Vachach meisovit. So the Bechor, notel pishnayim bimatana shalos behema. He gets double from the gifts of that behema, because the father already acquired it in his lifetime. Okay, because even before they gave it, because the law is, even if they haven't been separated, so to speak, but it's if it's separated, because it's a standard thing that happens all the time, so that's so the Kohen, the son, Kohen, gets the double portion. Let's do one more. Okay, this is a little bit tricky. Dalet. Eina b'chor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshavchu nechasim lachem izav. The b'chor does not get double from the profit that comes from these assets after the father dies. Let's say when the father dies, he has a piece of property. Piece of property. And now the property is, let's say, worth $300. $300. So as a Bechor and one other son. So, okay, so the Bechor gets 200 and the other one gets 100. So technically the Bechor gets two-thirds of the property and gets one-third of the property. But that's when the fire died. They didn't yet divide it up, and in the interim, the price skyrocketed up. So now, what are you going to do? Well, really, the Bechor is only entitled to the double portion at the time of death. Yep. Now there's extra profits coming up over here, and the coin is not entitled to the double on the extra profit that has grown subsequent to the death. Whereas the father left them a $300 property. So that's when he died, that's what he left them. Okay, so now I get two-thirds, you get one-third, and that's now, today, when the father died, the moment he died, that's a $200 property, and you get a $100 property. Now, by the time they come to pick it up, it's a week later, all of a sudden the whole market went like crazy, and his property's worth $600. So we do not say that, well, that's the way it is. So he gets two-thirds, he gets one-third. Well, we don't say that, because at the time, it was 200 and 100, and now we've got an extra 300 flying around over here. So therefore, what do? So the Bechor does not get the extra portion from all profits that come, but what do? Elamala osa mashevach badamin. We figure out what is the monetary value of that. The no seina yosel kosh, he gives the leftover to the regular one. What do we mean to say like this? Obviously, the Bechor inherited a piece of land that's two-thirds of the land. And the other one gets one-third of the land. So we're not going to start redistributing the land. That we don't do. Because at the time that the father died, the son was entitled to two-thirds of the land, and the other one one-third of the land. But now this whole property now is worth 600. So what do? The Bechor will still keep two-thirds. And the regular guy will keep one-third. But the difference in money that now happens, and not at a 2-to-1 ratio, but we'll say now, for example, so now all this property has jumped up 300. So now, instead of taking 200 against 100, let's say, it will be 150 against 150 is a difference of 50, so the Bechor just gives him an extra 50, all right, and he holds on to the land as is. You follow what's going on? If you would say it would just go up with the price, then he just keeps the property, and look how much more valuable property he has. We don't do that. That extra 300 now has to be divided up equally. But we're not going to start reparceling up the land. Now you're going to get the 58% of the land. That guy's 42% of the land. No, he did get that land, and that's the land he should have. But the extra incremental increase, that is divided up equally, and he just pays out the difference while he keeps the land.
At what point, though?
Until they actually divvy it up. Now, if the next day the guy's in there and the other guy's in there, then that's it. You know, if 5 years later price changes, that's not an issue to discuss. But there could be a lot of time in between for that. Let's just, all right. So, but when do we say this? But it doesn't happen so simply. But that's only shishtanu nechasim. That's only when the property changes over time. And really, it really won't work so well with land necessarily. Kigon Carmel, let's say they inherit buds of grain, shenasu shupon, become ears of grain. Now it's changed. It's a brand new thing that this has developed to. V'chafnios, or buds of dates, shenasu tron, they become dates. A name change has occurred. So now there's something new. So now that the Bechor can't get double of that which is new, he doesn't get that. Because that's a brand new thing that's come into existence, that the new thing has to be divided up equally. But if the thing just got better in and of itself, and the name hasn't changed, then we don't say that. Let's say a small tree got thicker. And a piece of earth, that silt, it's flooded onto it, and it became more, good, healthy earth. That he'll get double because it's exactly the very same thing. But if investments were put into an improved, then ain't a note, he obviously doesn't get the 2-to-1 because it's depending on how the investment worked out.